We are here on Insight without Jack Stogler tonight.
Well, I thought maybe he just got that much better looking sitting over there. That's not Jack sitting there. That's Neil.
Yes, it is not Jack. And better looking, Neil, I don't know. So tonight we have the couple of folks from the school. I'll let you guys introduce yourself.
Mr. Ryan Steinbrenner, high school principal.
And Tony Stahl, superintendent.
Yep, awesome. So we're going to talk a little bit about school stuff, focus a little bit at least on year-end stuff, what's going on, fun stuff, important stuff, financial stuff. But end of the school year, good time to sort of give a little synopsis of what's going on. So, real quick, what's going on? And then we'll get into details.
Well, speaking of being better looking, Neil, what threw me off was the beard a little bit, I think.
Oh.
Has that been a relatively new or how?
Yeah, I think it's 5 weeks now.
Okay, all right.
Yep.
Well, it is looking good.
Yeah.
It's getting there.
Yeah, it's getting there.
When you can't grow hair on top of your head, you grow it on your face, right?
Well, 50 years ago, I had both. Now, my beard was a slightly different color.
Maybe, yeah.
Slightly.
All good. I mean, you're right, Neil. It's end of the year, and it's a busy time, right? I mean, it's
crazy busy.
It's hard to believe we got 5 weeks left of school because we finished up this week today, and it's going to fly by. And if you just do a quick synopsis of what the heck's going on, we got state testing going on now. That's going on for two more weeks. So we come out of Easter break and we test, and then we got at the high school prom coming up next Friday, and you got spring sports coming up. So you got a senior night almost every week for the next few weeks. And so by the time you do all that and do your regular school stuff, you blink an eye and graduation's here.
Yeah.
So it's crazy that we've gotten to that time of year and the weather's starting to turn a little bit and we're in the heat of spring sports and state testing. But yeah, it's kind of crazy everything going on right now.
Yep.
Hasn't been a lot of heat for the heat of the spring.
Hasn't been the nicest spring season.
No. We had two good days that we played baseball in a row, I think. And then, we thought Monday night was going to be pretty nice. And by the time the game started, the wind picked up and it went from like 68, 70 degrees to and a little bit of a breeze to about 65, and it felt like 50. So
yes.
I think somebody maybe could fact check me out there, but I think it's been a nicer February than April. I'm not sure the average temperature, but it might have been nicer.
Well, I promise you, relatively for what you were expecting,
sure,
that's definitely true.
Yeah.
So let's take a break. We'll come back and get into details of all kinds of stuff, and we'll be back in just a minute or two, right after this.
First isn't just a saying, it's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Did you know the most stable skid steer on earth is now even more powerful? The L234 Super Boom Skid Steer Loader from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery offers 90 horsepower with increased hydraulics, breakout force, lift capacity, and comfort. You get the superior visibility, stability, and easy maintenance you expect from New Holland. Stop by K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today to learn more about the high-performance New Holland L234 Skid Steer Loader. Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Did you know the most stable skid steer on earth is now even more powerful? The L234 Super Boom Skid Steer Loader from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery offers 90 horsepower with increased hydraulics, breakout force, lift capacity, and comfort. You get the superior visibility, stability, and easy maintenance you expect from New Holland. Stop by K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today to learn more about the high-performance New Holland L234 Skid Steer Loader.
This is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Port Recovery.
The Cy Iota's Eyes annual Brick Street Market is coming up on Saturday, April 26th from 10 to 2 on the Brick Street in downtown Fort Recovery. And this year, they're holding it on Saturday of their annual garage sale. This will be a hometown craft and food fair featuring local merchants, vendors, crafters, and food trucks. If you're looking for some unique gifts and decor, this is where you want to be. And if you're a vendor and would like to show off your business to the public, please contact them at theta.zeta.fortrecovery@gmail.com. Or message them on their Facebook page, Fort Recovery Cy Iota's Eye. You don't want to miss this fun event, the Cy Iota's Eye's annual Brick Street Market, held right here in downtown Fort Recovery on Saturday, April 26th from 10 to 2. That's the Saturday of their big garage sale weekend. Welcome back to Insight. We're talking with folks from the school, Tony Stahl, the superintendent, and Ryan Steinbrenner, the high school principal. What do you want to talk about?
Well, one of the things I think that we'd like to mention while we're on here is that we have, we talked about it earlier this week. We had a board meeting for April on Monday. Is a community communication survey that we have coming out here next week. And we'd like to kind of get it out there on people's radar. Not that it is a super large scale, thing we're trying to accomplish. But we do have kind of generally as part of our ongoing efforts towards continual improvement, if you want to call it that. And then also it's part of our larger, I've been on in October and in January this year about our culture and commitment guide and some of the different goals and things we want to accomplish with that over the next 3-year period. So this is kind of a piece of that. And so one thing we're looking to do is obviously we're a service industry. That is our product, is a service that we offer for the community and the school district. So, gauging various communication components and resources and practices that we use as a district, obviously a communication with, parents over logistical things, academic things, highlighting athletics, performing arts, that kind of stuff. How good a job are we doing? Where are we performing well at that? Where are some potential areas of improvement? So really just kind of a general gauge is what we're looking for, kind of a proactive way to get some feedback. And then also I think, there are areas specifically that as a district we would probably like to, kind of get some more realignment or maybe some more efficient use of our resources. So just to give you an example, we use a program that probably many parents are familiar with, which is Final Forms, which is like a computer program or a software that we buy that allows parents to enter their students' enrollment information a lot easier. It saves it from year to year.
Oh, yeah.
And as a district, we can save it. So we do a lot of components with that. So we do some work and the district spends some money on that, program. They also offer it's called Campus Command. And so that is a way to have a district-wide texting service or a notification when you get a text message when we have a delay.
Yeah.
So we use currently another program called One Call Now for that. And so we have two services that we, we use or pay money to as a district. And so is there a way to maybe consolidate that and be a little bit more efficient with our communication practices? So that is some of the stuff of what we're trying to do here when that thing goes live.
Yep. That's good. So, kind of trying to make things simpler and better and more efficient.
That's kind of the goal. And we'll go live next week on Monday. I think Monday is April 21st, next Monday. We'll go live on social media. So you should be able, if you have Facebook on your phone, be able to click the link and do it right on your phone. It should be pretty simple. It'll also be posted as a link on our website. We'll send emails out to parents. Like I said, put it on the website. And then there will be paper copies if somebody's not, wants to give their feedback, but, hey, social media. You can call the office. We can get you a copy. You can fill it out over the phone. We can record your answers and put them in, things like that. So we'll have options for just about everybody, but that'll go live next week.
That's cool. So what other stuff we want to throw in at the top of the show here? And
Ryan said earlier, it's the end of the year is a wild time. About 4 million plus two. You're kind of like living in two worlds too. It's like you're trying to wrap up all this stuff. You got exams, you got state testing, you're trying to kind of finalize things for the year, but you're also on another end planning for next year. And so you're kind of being torn in half in two different directions a little bit.
And plus trying to get those events like the prom and the graduation.
Sure.
And trying to make it make the end of the year fun, especially for seniors, but for everybody. I know you guys have a lot of things kind of planned for just, let's have some fun.
Sure, you don't want to let, those big events, prom, graduation, Ryan does a lot of that stuff, and those guys do an excellent job, but those are big events for people. We want them to go smooth, we want them to be safe, we want them to be fun events for everybody. So there's a lot of logistics on the back end that go into that for sure.
Yeah, and we do all these things, and it's all for the best interest of the kids, and so I want to commend, I have a principal committee. I have two students out of each grade level in the high school that meet with me monthly, and we have lunch together, and they provide the feedback for the types of things that they want to see, right? And what ideas they have. Well, what a great way to implement student activities when it comes straight from the students, right?
Yeah.
And so, just ideas of that from this past year and going into this year is how we can engage students more in the extracurriculars and the sports that we have going on, as not only fans, but as joining those clubs and those sports. And so one of the things we did this year was we had a incentive for joining activities. It could be a club, a sport, extracurricular. And if you join so many, then we have certain incentives that go along with that. So if you're at least part of two clubs, activities, or sports throughout the year, we're going to have an ice cream bar in a couple weeks for those students. And then at the end of the year, we're going to go to a movie for students that were engaged in at least five activities. And then we're going to have some extra drawings at the end of the year, raffle prizes for this as well. And so we took data from last year, and then we went to, I spoke with the principal committee about what things we can do to get people, students to join more activities, get them involved in school. And then we've just collected the data for this year. And we found over the course of this year that the overall data shows that overall students are engaged in almost a little over a half more activity than they were last year. So if you think about it, students are involved last year in around, throughout the high school, in around three activities, sports or clubs, and this year it's over three and a half. So we've seen that improvement, and that's what we want to see, is students joining those clubs or sports, but then wanting to be part of them and engaged in them. And so what we've seen at the high school this year is the club advisors doing so much more with the students. So Lindsay Reinhardt's our SAD advisor, and they've went ice skating. They've went to see Christmas lights around Christmas on a bus. They have game nights, so they have all these activities students can go to. Art club a couple weeks ago went up to Van Wert, and they did a stained glass creation class, and those kids raved about it for the next few days, how cool it was to go up there and make their own stained glass. It was something that Tori Horseman was able to do with those students. And so we've, in Spanish club, went down to Jungle Gyms a few weeks ago as a field trip.
Yep.
So, these things are, students enjoy these experiences and great learning experiences for the students outside the classroom. So I certainly commend the principal committee for coming up with these ideas and say, okay, hey, how can we get more kids engaged? And now because of that, we see that excitement in the students. Today we had a Powder Puff football tournament. Now we do that annually at the high school. Each grade level has a group of 8 to 10 girls that have a Powder Puff team, and they get two boys out of their grade that coach them, and we bring the whole student body down for the last hour of the day, and we do a Powder Puff tournament, and the senior girls came out victorious today and were champions. And so just a lot of fun for the kids are up in the stands cheering and hooting and hollering. Yep. And the girls are down there giving 110% for this football game that means absolutely nothing, but the pride you have in playing. So, it's just so many of those types of activities that engage the students and get them excited about what's going on. And then it's all going to culminate in something we do every year at the high school, and we call it Senior Fest, and it's the celebration of our seniors. So we do it on their last day, which is May 16th this year. Is that correct,
Tony?
Graduation's
18th,
right? So on May 16th we have graduation practice in the morning for the seniors, and then we do a cookout for the entire school. And so we grill out hamburgers and out on the grill and cook for the whole school, and they can have kind of a picnic. Then the afternoon, it's essentially a field day, but all the students go out, and we have games set up all out throughout the yard on the east side of school. We have food trucks that come in, Wendell's Barbecue and an ice cream truck and Gin Fit. And, you know, a lot of these different trucks, kids can buy food and snacks. And it's just a lot of fun. What a great way to celebrate our seniors and have fun with the kids. And then we do a big raffle at the end. And so by playing the games, you know, it's no, I mean, the kids just play the games for free, but then when they're engaged in the games, they get tickets for winning or playing the games. They go put them in these buckets for raffle prizes, and we got prizes for freshmen, junior, seniors, like a big, you know, and a whole bunch of buckets. And then we got senior specific prizes that are much bigger prizes that gives them a chance to win something a little bit bigger and way to go out. And so it's organized by, you know, a lot of our teachers with help from the students. It's possible because of a lot of awesome donations from local businesses and people.
Yeah. Are you still looking for donations?
We are still looking for donations. As a matter of fact, we're about $1,000 behind on donations than we were in past years. And there's a lot going on. You know, we certainly understand anything that anyone's capable of. But if any person or organization or business was interested in making a donation to that, it could be a cash donation so that we could buy prizes. Or if you wanted to donate a basket that could be a raffle prize that has just some of your product in it, we would,
or some of the gifts, a lot of the business gift certificates are the perfect thing.
Exactly. You know, so anything like that, we would certainly be, you know, more than thankful for those things. If you are interested, you can certainly reach out to me. You can call me or email me at school. Taylor Frank and Nina Fowler, two of our teachers, are kind of in charge of that part. So you could email Nina or Taylor at school, but, you know, just contact school or talk to one of the students. Our junior students are the ones that kind of organize all those, but, you know, we're certainly appreciative of all that, and the students are certainly appreciative of that. You know, it's kind of a fun way to end that last senior day. And then that's our last day. 2 days later, on May 18th, 77 seniors will be graduating from Fort Recovery High School this year, and we're certainly looking forward to another great graduation ceremony. And, you know, the following week, the freshmen, sophomore, juniors come back and take their semester exams to finish out the year. But it's a busy time, but it's an exciting time, and we can see the students really engaged in enjoying their last few weeks.
Yeah, and I remember seeing Facebook pages, pictures on Facebook over the last several years of that last senior day thing, and there's some, number one, there's some really nice prizes that they win, and number two, they all seem to be really having fun. Everybody's having fun, and let's say 50, 60 years ago, that wasn't the thing. You weren't supposed to have fun in school. That was against the rules. And sometimes the administration made really sure that you didn't. So whole different deal last two or three decades where things have gotten much better. Kids seem to enjoy school a lot more. And, you know, it's just a really good thing. And there's probably 1,000 different reasons for that. But
I think it's a huge testament to our teachers and how they engage students in the relevant curriculum they teach, right? You know, it's you know, I don't want to generalize and say, you know, 50 years ago it was just, you know, preach and teach and stand up in front and you sit and get. But, you know, teachers are so awesome at engaging students in the material and having teaching methods and strategies that make the material relevant to the students and get them out of their seats and get them ways to engage in their learning. And I'll talk about Julie Schlater for a second. She's one of the most awesome teachers, our Spanish teacher at the high school. And I never learned Spanish. I learned German in high school, and I could sit in her class all day every day and just enjoy learning Spanish. She has those kids up out of their seats dancing and singing songs in Spanish. She has them working with each other and talking to each other in Spanish. Like, there's no just sit there and memorize the vocab in Spanish. Yep. It is engaging learning every minute of every class period, and it's enjoyable to be a part of.
Yep, and I had one teacher like that. The rest were sit and learn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like you were talking, you know, just you're there. They go over this, and this, and you're supposed to absorb all of that, and that's, you know, but it wasn't fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing we've tried to do from at least like a district level with some of our culture and commitment guide goals going into the next 3 years has been to, provide very hands-on and very applicable and good, well-rounded extracurricular activities for students and to get a lot of stuff in front of them. You know, the world is a smaller place than it was 50 years ago. These kids are exposed to a lot of different things with what they have technology-wise and what their future careers are going to be and what's going to happen. So I think we've kind of made a concerted effort to be able to, as a district, not only in the classroom but outside the classroom with all these things that Ryan's talking about, just to make it a better experience and give them a lot of different opportunities while they're in our four walls.
Yeah, and that's, that's important. It just really is, because when they're having fun doing that, or not, even if it's not fun, but not dreading, I got to go to here and got to go to the only foreign language back in my day was Latin.
Oh, geez. Oh, boy.
yeah. With she was probably 65, but I thought in my head she was 90-year-old teacher, and it was the opposite of fun. Mm-hmm. It was drudgery, and it was important because and I learned a lot because many of our words are based from Latin. So mm-hmm. if you know the kind of the meanings of those words, you can sure. understand what somebody's saying with a word that you haven't heard before. Yep. So,
well, I think one of the most important things that stuck with me through my time as an administrator that I learned coming into this are the three R's, and it's rigor, relevance, and relationships.
Not reading, writing, arithmetic?
Well, not quite that. No, but, I go back to relevance a lot. Rigor and relevance are important. Neither of them happen without relationships. Being able to build relationships with the students is key number one, right? Because when you make those connections with the kids and the students, then they respond better. They feel engaged, or they feel, part of the class, right? But once relationships are established, rigor and relevance can be there. And that's probably my most favorite part of my job, is continuing to look how to improve those two things, the rigor and relevance. And when I speak to relevance, it's how important is it to our students on what they are doing in their classes and the class offerings they have. And so, for example, this year we implemented a officiating class at the high school, and we got six boys taking OHSAA sports officiating as a class at Fort Recovery High School. They will earn their officiating license in six OHSAA sports. And so and it's boys that are like sports and like mm-hmm. to be engaged, and what a great thing that they could walk out of high school with these licenses and go work these jobs and work their way up. And I worked as an official when I was in college, and then when I was teaching, and I enjoyed it. It's a great side gig, is good money in it. Yeah.
And you get to still be involved in sports.
Absolutely, right? And so it's
if you're a sports junkie, you can't do better than that.
That's
right. Paid to watch sports.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And so it's continuing to look at the class offerings we have at the high school and say, okay, are there new class offerings such as that is a whole class in itself we can offer? But then within our classes, what relevant material can we include or maybe are not including that we can add as well? And so one of those big pushes from the state lately has been something called IRCs, Industry Recognized Credentials. There's a list of over 600 of them that the state offers. And essentially, it's licensures or certificates that we can teach students for free in schools. Mm-hmm. Licenses that kids can get in school that we get reimbursed as a school from the state for, so it's no cost to the kid and no cost to us. So like sports officiating, that's one of them. But just last week, we had a lady from Rhodes come in and teach Part 107 drone licensing. She taught for 3 days a group of 16 students everything they need to know to take their Part 107 drone license exam, which is your entrance drone exam if you want to fly drones recreationally. And so it's kind of the first thing you have to do. And it's the same exam that a pilot's going to take if you're getting your, pilot license. And so for a plane, and those students were engaged in that. She came in and taught it to them.
And I'm sure they were the ones that chose to do that and decided, yes, yep, this is going
to
be
they
neat.
They signed up to do this. We took them out of their other classes for those 3 days, and they sat in there. They signed up for it under their own will, wasn't putting into any particular class. But they're going to go to MVCTC next week and take their drone piloting license. And once they pass that, then it opens up a whole array of different things they can do. So, for example, there are two junior boys in that class that took it because they specifically want to get a job or start a business of in agriculture of spraying fields with drones, which is a huge new thing. And so you need that drone license first. And now this lady from Rhodes is willing to come back next year and teach the students the next part, which is you have to get your licensure in biochemicals or, the spray.
Yeah.
And so by the time they graduate, they will have got the education in the school for free at no cost to them. That would cost them hundreds, if not thousands of dollars otherwise.
And they'd have to go somewhere and take time
So now they're going to have that coming out of high school at no cost to them, have that knowledge, and they can go start, they can work on their own farm spraying, they could start their own business spraying. And like I said, there's over 600 of these. Now, can we offer every one of those? No, but in future years, we're going to offer Microsoft licensing. So a student can take Mr. Kern's business class, computer apps class, and get licensed in Microsoft Office, Microsoft Word, and Microsoft Excel. Licenses that are certificates, I guess, that cost over $300 a piece if you want to go get them on your own. Now you can have that for your resume when you go get an office job. Mrs. Horseman next year is starting a brand new graphic design class where she's going to teach Adobe Photoshop, and students can earn their license or certificate in Adobe Photoshop. What a great way to put something on, to get that knowledge and be able to do it and have it on your resume. So I could go on this for a long time, but it's really an enjoyable part of my job to look with the teachers at what's most relevant to our kids. What can we add into our curriculums that's going to benefit the students and help them when they walk out of here? And ideally, we can help every student individually find something that's going to benefit them for what they're specifically going to do when they leave high school.
Yeah, or even just as a hobby. Yeah. If you just want to do some drone photography just because and make a little bit of money or a bunch of money or just do it for yourself and send it to your family. Yeah. All of that's pretty neat.
And I think one of the things too that needs to be said with this conversation is that, you look at one of the goals outside the classroom that we talked about with all these different opportunities that we're offering to students, extracurricular, co-curricular, field trips, that type of stuff, and all the things going on inside the classroom, at least, some of the examples that Ryan gave tonight, it really starts, I would just like to compliment, kind of our Board of Education, top-down treasurer, Deanna Kanapke, our staff. There's been a lot of things that we've invested as a district over the last 2 years, probably, from, expanding supplemental roles, so taking on, adding additional coaches to different programs that have expanded or that we want to see grow, kind of thing, to changing teacher schedules and providing financial, support into that teacher's training, whether it's a new class or picking up a credential or maybe a new College Credit Plus class to get those, some of those classes, and Ryan can talk to this, require college credit that these teachers need to go get to be able to teach some of this stuff. So our staff, board, treasurer, everybody's kind of been behind this push to provide all these new opportunities for our students, and it's really starting to pay off here, which is exciting.
Yeah, and I think that's, without a lot of people knowing those particulars, they know that the kids are getting really good educations and getting good jobs and getting into good colleges when they leave high school, and it's I think that's just a really, really great thing.
Yeah, well, it really is a testament to all stakeholders that in a small community like ours, we can have such the wealth of options for students to take advantage of, whether it's TriStar in a high school, and you go to TriStar and get some specific training in a field like welding or auto technician, or being able to stay at Fort Cover High School and get those CCP classes. We have so many of those. And like Mr. Stahl said, it's the teachers do a lot of training for that. Nina Fowler came in last year as a first year teacher and said, well, I want to teach CCP chem, so I will take all my more college classes. Now I just graduated college. I'll take more to get certified so I can teach that. She's wrapped them up and she came to me and said, well, I'd like to make physics CCP. I'm willing to go do my college classes to get physics to be certified to do that. Okay, thanks, Nina. You just had her first child and is a second-year teacher and doing everything over the sun. Thank you, Nina Fowler, for just being an absolutely amazing human being and teacher, and now she's taking that. And so, and that is, I'm singling her out, but it's all of them. You know, Tori going through the Adobe training, or Matt Kearns going through the training for entrepreneurship, which is a new one he's going to offer next year. It's just the teachers are so engaged in what they are doing and want to do everything for the betterment of the students. Yeah. And that's awesome to have.
It is. I mean, it's, you know, you hear all these horror stories about teachers that go in and just kind of phone it in. They do whatever. It sounds like, and from what I know myself, the teachers we have are, they really care about making the kids' lives better, our community better with all of this stuff. And, you know, I don't know that we've ever had that problem with teachers phoning it in, but we definitely don't have it around here now.
No, I 100%
teachers are
agree.
So excited about helping the kids all the way from preschool through elementary, middle school, high school. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I you know, it's from the top down, as Mr. Stahl said, from the Board of Education to the administration, to the staff. Everyone remembers that it's a service to help the students. Yep. And, you know, I can speak specifically to the high school teachers, I guess, because I'm there, but I know for a fact that from pre-K to 12th grade, every teacher, staff member, custodian, cook, I could name them all, right? Secretary, all of them. They're
bus
there.
Bus drivers all the way
every
through.
Every single one of them. Enjoy helping our students, and that's what makes it such a great place to be.
Yep. Let's take a break. We'll be back in just a little bit and talk about some more school stuff.
Klingtern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingternandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingtern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Attention farmers, Case IH and Hall Brothers have teamed up to help get your equipment ready to go this year. Right now, all Case IH tractors, combines, and planters are eligible to receive 2 free hours of labor after an inspection from our service department. Plus, there's discounts on the Case IH parts that are used in any repairs that are done. So now is a great time to save on Case IH equipment repairs. Call today for details. Hall Brothers, your local Case IH dealer in Fort Recovery.
Here's an easy way to feed your family on a busy night. Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them take care of it. Whether you want wings, sandwiches, subs, their fried goodies, or their awesome pizza, just call them and they'll make it for you. Why work hard in the kitchen after a long day when Miracle Lanes is just a phone call away? And you don't want to miss their very popular all-you-can-eat Friday lunch buffet with salad bar, pizza, breadsticks, and boneless wings. And be sure to call them to book your lanes for birthday parties and other occasions. Miracle Lanes, great food and lots of fun. Stop by and see Corey and Jared today. Here are the baseball broadcasts coming up this weekend on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, the baseball team will travel over to New Bremen for an MAC game. On Saturday, they'll welcome the South Adams Starfires to the Battleground for a doubleheader starting at 11 a.m. The Indians are 6-2 and playing well, so get out to these games to help cheer them on. But if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Insight, speaking to our school folks. So we have Tony Stahl, superintendent, and Ryan Steinbrunner, high school principal. And, you know, we talked about a whole bunch of things, curriculum things and stuff like that. Just one thing, I just happened to look at my little list of things. Financing. I think you mentioned off the air something about our treasurer was talking a little bit about, or did a report or something at the board meeting on Monday night. So
sure.
Can you kind of fill us in on finances and what it looks like in general and the specific thing that this was about?
Sure. So, in general, we've talked about it with our, back in January, I think we were talking about the culture and commitment guide, very strong financial forecast. So in a very good financial position moving into, the next fiscal year. But one of the things that is happening right now at the state level is that they're working on the new, biennium budget, which is a 2-year cycle for fiscal year 26 and 27. So that's the kind of interesting thing about schools is, roughly 50% of our funding comes from outside of the area, from Columbus. And so every 2 years, that percentage of how much that's going to be is a little bit up in the air with how they go through that budget cycle. Obviously the state's very large, a lot of different stakeholders' opinions, a lot of different financial needs. And so every 2 years they kind of evaluate it, and that's the process that they're doing right now. And so that's, the governor kind of comes out with his version of it, what he would like in February. And then a couple weeks after that, the House comes out with their version, which is where we're at right now. Then the Senate comes out with their version. And then they kind of, all that backdoor haggling happens over the next couple weeks. And, hopefully by the end of June, we have roughly a budget moving into the next 2 years. And so that's kind of what we had talked a little bit about with the Board of Education on Monday, just going into May. We do 2 5-year forecasts where we provide like a financial outlook for the district. Deanna Kapke, our treasurer, puts that together, does a great job, does it in November and then May. So kind of going into that May forecast, there's obviously some uncertainty with how this is all going to land. And so, it's kind of balancing, I say, and not a treasurer, but you're trying to basically drive a car by looking in the rearview mirror. You know what I mean? It's kind of how you're doing the finances. And so you don't know when the turns are coming and what's going to happen. And so that's kind of where we're at right now. But generally speaking, a very strong financial forecast overall for the district.
Yep. And we've had that for a long time, and most of the schools around here are like that. You see in the paper every once in a while, a lot of times the headlines aren't what the real story is, but there'll be a school that's looking at some financial difficulties coming up, and I don't remember ever seeing that with ours for at least for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Going back to Lori Cook and that.
Long run, yeah, for sure. Certainly nothing I've done, that's for sure, but it's definitely, one of the things where you definitely want to be respectful and try to do it as efficiently as possible, right?
Yeah.
In terms of the taxpayer and what they owe, and make sure that, you're operating safely and efficiently, but also offering, all these things that we talked about earlier with all these different curriculum options.
Yes.
There's a lot of money and things that go in behind to do that, but so that's a piece, and then also, looking forward to the future, buildings, we have hundreds of thousands of square footage, under roof at both buildings and different athletic facilities and things like that. And so making sure that, you have your day-to-day operational money to be able to fund all those things and pay the salaries and get the buses on the road and all that stuff, but then also to be able to have money set aside for, different strategic targets and goals of what you're trying to get from a facility standpoint.
So and we had
that for the future.
Was that this past year where we had the, what was that?
Yeah, they did a facilities assessment. So that was kind of...
So there was a big project we had to do. What was that?
Going into this summer, it's about almost $1 million project with the elementary and middle school building, which is kind of the new building, as everybody calls it. The new building is a little misleading title these days.
It's the new gym at the high school.
1973
or whenever it
is. I think it's 76,
I think you're right.
I think it's about 40 years, and the old gym, which was tiny and all that stuff, and kind of seemed like it was just old and dilapidated. We've been in the new gym longer than we ever used the old gym.
that's an interesting statistic.
But there's so much difference. And whoever it was that decided to do that did it wisely and built for the future. Mm-hmm. And of course, at the time, we needed that much room too. But they made it so that it can be upgraded when it needed upgraded, and this, and you know, to the administrations over the last bunch of years, credit, that has been maintained. That has they haven't said, well, I just bulldoze that one and build another new one because you know it's outlived its necessity. And it hasn't.
And I think that's where a lot of times people, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's your large house, right? You know, you want to do things right. It's going to be there. You know, the school district of Fort Recovery is going to be there long after anybody at this table is going to be around. So, you know, you're making decisions that are going to impact kids that aren't in the building yet. And so you take that into consideration. We have an excellent maintenance staff, you know, that really takes care of stuff. And so we really like to look for the future and do it right and make sure it's going to be around and done the right way for a long time.
Yeah. So what other kind of big projects do we have as far as maintenance and or redoing something or putting something new in? Is there anything, roofs, heating, air conditioning, anything like that that needs, that is planned right now?
The biggest one this summer that we're looking to get done is our elementary and middle school HVAC system, which I think I kind of talked a little bit about last time.
Yeah.
They're replacing those variable air unit volume or variable air volume boxes in each of the rooms that kind of control the heating and cooling for that facility, for the entire facility. So that is over 100 different units in all those different classrooms of going and taking them down. So it is a very, not so much from a, you know, complicated process, you know, because they know how to do it, but it's every single room, removing the ceiling tiles, taking it down, replacing it, hooking it back up, and then getting the whole system up and running prior to school starting so we can have, you know, adequate heating and cooling.
That's going
to
take a day or two.
It'll take a day or two. So,
or 60.
Yeah, so.
Now, is that something that our maintenance people can do, or do we have to have professionals come in? Or I know Kevin was in that business beforehand.
Yep. Like I said, Kevin Will is a fantastic. If you're listening, Kevin, you are the man. He does an excellent job keeping that place afloat with a lot of the behind-the-scenes facilities and maintenance stuff. So, yes, to answer your question, they do a little bit. So we were able to save some money. Some of our maintenance staff is going to help with some of that and kind of work a little bit ahead of this group to be able to prep the ceilings, take the ceiling tiles down, make sure that crew can go in and does, you know, nothing's in their way, that they can just do what they need to do to install that new unit and move on to the next one. And then Kevin and Clint and those guys are going to kind of follow behind them and put that stuff back together. So hopefully a couple of things, save the district a little money and also kind of keep, you know, eliminate another obstacle or hiccup that maybe that company, you know, doesn't have to worry about. They can keep smoothly. So that's the plan.
Yeah. And I'm sure, speaking of Kevin, he, you know, having been in that business for a long time, he knows that routine maintenance is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Now, if he probably when he was in the business, I believe it was his father-in-law's business, it probably was to their financial advantage when people didn't do that, and then they could fix more stuff and charge them more money. But when you're good at it, you're busy enough, you don't want that. So he knows what needs to be done, and he is, I would say he is extremely conscientious about that type of thing.
Knowing what we need, what it should be replaced, when you can.
Yep. Yeah, and exactly. When this needs to be cleaned, and when this needs, you know, people like that are extremely valuable, and especially when they're perfectly fine with being behind the scenes and nobody even knows they did it. That's those people are important. Let's take another little break here real quick. We'll come back and talk more school stuff back in just a couple minutes.
One guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
For the next power outage with a Generac home standby generator. When the power goes out, your life can go on without interruption. And now, for a limited time, purchase a qualifying Generac home standby generator and receive a free 7-year warranty. That's a $735 value. Terms and conditions apply. Act today. Generac. It's a power move. Call Reasoner Energy Products at 419-678-4858.
Linda's here, and Wayne IGA has you covered. Stop by their deli for some of their famous freshly fried fish and shrimp. You can get dinners with two sides or buy it by the pound. Call ahead at 375-2865 for larger amounts. They'll have their fish and shrimp in their deli every Friday all the way through Lent. And check out their frozen food section for their fish, shrimp, and even more meatless Lent options. Let Wayne IGA make your Friday dinners easy this Lenten season. Just stop by their deli and pick up what you need. Fort Recovery Cy Iota's Eyes Community Garage Sales will be held Thursday through Saturday, April 24th, 25th, and 26th. There are going to be bargains galore everywhere in and around town, so get to as many of the sales as you can and grab some great treasures. Maps to the dozens of participating sales are available in many of the businesses around town and also on their Facebook page, Fort Recovery Cy Iota's Eye. And new this year, on Saturday of the garage sales, the Brick Street Market will be in downtown Fort Recovery from 10 to 2 with crafts, vendors, food trucks, a puppet show, and lots more. Again, Fort Recovery Community's garage sales will be held Thursday through Saturday, April 24th, 25th, and 26th, all around Fort Recovery and the surrounding area, and the Brick Street Market will be downtown on Saturday the 26th from 10 to 2. Welcome back. We are talking with school folks, and we have Ryan Steinbrenner, high school principal, and Tony Stahl, our school superintendent, and we've talked about a lot of different things. Where do we want to go now?
Well, I'll jump into this maybe first. We got prom coming up next week, Neil, and so it's a big week in the high school for sure. It's kind of a week-long anticipation going up to that day, and so, you know, a lot going on as we lead up to that, meeting with all the juniors and seniors on Tuesday, just to give them the old make wise decision speech. But, you know, we trust our kids around here. We know they do make wise decisions, and we're so happy for that. And so, you know, Wednesday, we have our prom promise signing. I should have looked it up before I came here. I think we had 80-some students sign up for prom promise, which means they pick an elementary student, a junior or senior that's going to prom picks an elementary student, and they go over to the EMS building on Wednesday, and they sign a promise that they will remain alcohol and drug-free on prom night, and they sign it next to their prom buddy. Prom buddy, you know, signs it too, and it's okay, hey, I'm promising you that I'm going to, you know, make wise choices on prom night. And then any student who does that at prom is, when they enter prom, they breathe into a breathalyzer, and then at the end of the night, we give away door prizes, and so they're entered into them door prizes by doing the prom buddy. And so our SAD puts that on, our SAD committee, or club puts that on, and so it's awesome to see so many students sign up for that. I also do square dance practice with the students on Wednesday, because if you're in Fort Recovery, you got a square dance at prom. That's the way it works.
And I think they love it, though.
They love it. Yeah. It's a voluntarily thing. Come down during your, we call it tribe time, essentially. It's your extra time around your lunch. Come down, and if you want to learn how to square dance, I'll practice on Wednesday with you, and I'll have 60 kids. I'll have, you know, probably 40 to 60 kids down there on Wednesday, and they'll learn to square dance, and they love it, and they'll all square dance at prom, and they have a blast. And so, you know, I get the little bit of advantage of knowing some square dances myself, and it's kind of fun for me. I call them at prom myself, too, so
you've
kind
probably
of fun.
Done that a couple of times in your
I've
life.
I've done it once or twice before, so I don't get to do it anymore, and so my one time a year to call square dances is prom, so I kind of look forward to it also. And then, you know, Friday comes around and we got promenade, so public certainly invited to Fort Recovery High School Gymnasium on Friday, next Friday. And
doors open at 5:15, I believe.
Doors open at 5:15. Promenade starts at 6, just as it has in many past years.
And the community comes in through the commons doors, right? Yes. On the south side.
Correct. You come in through the commons doors. And
that's where all the parking is. So
that's right. You'll walk into a beautifully decorated gym. Our juniors are doing an awesome job once again. The theme this year is Arabian Nights, and I've been looking at the decorations getting put together up in the balcony at the gym, and they're just absolutely stunning and beautiful. That gym just turns into a incredibly beautiful place on promenade night, and so we'll do our promenade that night, and we'll crown our king and queen. So I'm going to read off our prom court for this year.
Oh, yes.
And because of some ties, we actually got two ladies that are, or one extra lady, I should say, six ladies and five guys on prom court. So Our ladies that are candidates this year on the prom court are Carly Niekamp, Mara Winning, Cassidy Deuce, Aaliyah Overman, Layla Ben, and Eva Collig. And our gentlemen are Evan Evers, Kyle Huntsman, Riley Greasup, Cooper Thompson, and Eli Leonards. So we will prom king and queen at Promenade. After that's over, the students will head over to Romer's in St. Henry. That's where we've had the dinner and dance for quite a few years now, and it works great. The kids will go over there. As I said, those that signed up for Prom Promise will voluntarily go and, you know, breathe into a breathalyzer when they walk in. Our FRPD will be there doing that, and it's a great way to you know, ensure the kids are making their wise choices. I've never, ever had an issue that I know of, so that's great to hear. Romer's will serve an excellent dinner. Wicked Sounds is going to provide the music this year, and the kids will dance and enjoy themselves to 11 o'clock. And then the prom parents or junior parents put on a after prom, as they do, and I think it's at the bowling alley again.
Probably
this year.
Is. I haven't heard, but that,
I'm sure
since
it
we're
is.
Not invited, I guess
the kids
I don't
do
need
not
to
want
know.
To see me there, and so I won't be there. But you know, it's always an exciting time, and you know, the kids they're geared up for it. They've been talking about it for months. You know, you get your prom proposals or whatever you call them, where the kids are asking each other. You know, yep. You know, back in my day, and not yep. That was that long ago.
Yep.
Now, you can go to prom with me now.
Of back in my day, you're talking about the music. No, it's a DJ, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So now I didn't get to go to this one. This is my sophomore year. So, but my sister got to go to the prom with the Rick Z combo.
The Rick Z combo.
Yep. You know who Rick Z is?
Rick Zeringer, as
Rick
Darren?
Zeringer, yes.
Okay, yeah.
It was before they were the McCoys.
Okay, there you go.
2 years before.
I see.
Before
I didn't know
Hang
that.
On,
put
Sloopy.
It together, yeah.
Yeah, he was. That was the prom.
There you go.
They played at the prom.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, it is.
That is pretty.
But
cool
I didn't get to see him. But,
I mean, that's no RJ the DJ or Slick. I'm telling you, it's not that. But you know, it's close.
Just close. Yeah,
not close.
Now they had, by that time they'd moved to Union City and were living there. But back in the old days at the West School, we might be out there playing basketball sometime, and right across the street, you could hear them playing the guitar and drum on their front porch, like 8 and 10 years old or whatever it was before they moved to Union City. So I got to hear them play, but
that's pretty cool.
So anyway, that was back in my day.
There you go. Yeah. I say that too often now. I don't feel like I'm that old yet. Certainly exciting time of prom coming up, and you know, I'm hoping and always praying for a safe and fun week for the students.
Yep. Let's take another one last break, and we'll come back and talk about anything we haven't talked about and kind of maybe hit highlights of what we've already talked about back in just a couple of minutes.
Boers Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boers, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boers Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boers Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Business owners and farmers, are you concerned with the economy and where things might be headed? That's why it's important to be thinking about your 2024 and 2025 operating monies. Come see our newest addition, my son Tyler and I, for the best value in the market. Because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice to have a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See us for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
Here are the baseball broadcasts coming up this weekend on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, the baseball team will travel over to New Bremen for an MAC game. On Saturday, they'll welcome the South Adams Starfires to the Battleground for a doubleheader starting at 11 a.m. The Indians are 6-2 and playing well, so get out to these games to help cheer them on. But if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Welcome back, Insight, talking with Ryan Steinbrenner and Tony Stahl from the school, and we've been talking about some things. What haven't we covered that we want to talk about? Oh, I see something on your, some things you had mentioned. FFA State Convention, Wax Museum, Field Day.
Yeah, we have, there's a lot of stuff coming up. We do have one new kind of item this year. Preschool graduation we'll have on May 1st. That's a little bit of a new...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we ordered a bunch of cap and gowns for them, so they're going to do a little ceremony on the evening of May 1st, so that'll be kind of neat for those guys. So that is a little bit of a new thing. Then we have a lot of the standard end of the year, especially over at the other building. Ryan talked a lot about the high school, but we do have May 16th is the middle school awards banquet, and also the fifth grade wax museum. That's where they research kind of a historical figure and have, recite facts and have a report on them, and people can come see it. So that's on May 16th
I've seen some Facebook things in the past on that. That's pretty neat.
Yep, and then the 5K Indian Way week will be the week of May 19th. That'll be the 5K through town. So if anybody, I know a lot of times we get a lot of parents or community members that want to participate in that. So that'll be on May 19th, and you'll see information posted on social media here in the coming weeks, kind of advertising for that, registering.
Yeah,
for
it's
that.
Still 4 weeks away or so, five.
Yep, hard to believe, but it'll be here in about a blink of an eye.
Yeah,
I participate in that every year.
As the announcer?
I drive the golf cart and lead all the kids. So I do all 3 point, however many miles it is.
He's racked up a 5K every year.
Every year. I do one 5K a year. Drive the golf cart right around it. Golf cart.
And then on May 21st, it's our elementary field day. So that'll be the 5K is part of the middle school stuff. And then on the 21st will be the elementary field day. So a lot of fun stuff for the kids to look forward to in the next month, for sure.
Yep. So what else haven't we touched on yet that you guys need to cover? Seems like we've hit the ones I had.
We do have two big retirees this year, Karen Klosterman and Michelle Stahman. Those are going to be big shoes to fill. So certainly thank those two teachers for, excellent careers and just being top-notch in the district for us for a long time. So definitely some big, big shoes to fill, but wish them nothing but the best in retirement. Enjoy.
Yep.
Old enough. They're younger than
me. I'm sitting there. My thought was they've been there as long as I can remember, but they seem like they're 30 years old.
It is.
But you don't remember any time when they weren't there, but in your mind, you're still thinking, they're not old enough to retire, you're trying to think back, and they've been there a long time. And, they're kind of staples that you always know are going to be there. And I'm sure when they came there were people that retired that you're thinking, oh, you can never replace them. And then they replaced them,
Last year,
it's better.
Last year, we had about 20%, I think it was, of our entire staff was either totally new to the position or new to the district.
Wow.
One out of every five. And then this year, I think we turned over maybe three or four. So it's 25% maybe of our staff of 68 teachers or whatever it is, certified staff. So there's definitely some new faces there for sure.
Yep. So those teachers are going to retire. So we have openings?
Yeah. Well, we filled our last one on Monday. We hired Isaac Osterfeld, who will be our third grade teacher for next year. He's from Coldwater area originally, Coldwater graduate. He's been teaching at Greenville the last 3 years in their elementary. He's done second grade, he's done fifth grade, and so he'll be our third grade team.
I'm sure he's happy to get back in the area.
Yeah, very excited, very energetic, enthusiastic, really go-getter.
Young guy.
We're excited to have him. Young, but with so little experience, like I said, teaching in Greenville for a couple of years, and then obviously Wes Wenning filled another one of those spots.
Oh, yes.
Hired him.
He'll be all right.
So he'll be all right. hopefully.
I'm pretty sure that I have mentioned to you probably the first week that you were here that when we get a chance to hire Wes Wenning, I was thinking just as teacher, you need to get him. And so we ended up with a bonus. We got him as a football coach, too.
Yeah, and then we had, Chrissy Keller's moving to a different position next year, so there's always kind of some internal movement. But, yeah, it'll be a little bit of a different look next year, especially from our special ed department, but I think in a good way. So we're excited about it.
Yep. So do we want to, let's just real quick kind of go over some of the things that are coming up, like the prom, the graduation, some of the senior day and those kind of things.
I think also the thing we talked about earlier that I'll remind any listeners out there that, you know, communication survey going out next Monday. So keep your eyes, you know, especially if you're a parent and you're plugged into our regular newsletter communication, that'll be sent out next week to your email and also posted on social media. So if you could pay attention to that and give us your feedback and participation, it would certainly be appreciated.
Yep. And, you know, like I said, there's a lot going on, and it's, you know, just kind of neat to see how we're going to finish up this year with prom going on next week, the state testing. You know, next week we got state testing in the elementary 4th through 12th grade, or 4th through 10th grade, essentially, and the week after that. And, you know, state testing is, they call it high-stakes testing, but, you know, at the same time, it matters, but it doesn't, right? You know, the students, we want good scores because it's a reflection of what our teachers and students are doing in the classroom. But at the same time, it doesn't tell the whole story, you know? So our teachers do a great job of preparing the students, and the students, everyone I've ever seen, will give 110% on that and show everything they can, and that's all we can ask for. And you know, we've seen over the last few years some very strong scores from our students, and it's great to see. You know, but we don't want to put the pressure on our students either. You go out there and just do your absolute best, and that's what we can ask for, and that's what we get from the kids.
Yep.
You mentioned FFA State Convention before. I think we got 50-some kids going to State Convention April 30th through May 2nd. That's always a big time for the FFA. Shout out to Michael Gower and Joe Hawk and all the work they do.
They do a pretty good job.
They do an amazing job. They had their FFA banquet last week, you know, and, you know, auction off over $7,000 worth of pies to raise money for them and honor all those students that have been working so hard this year. We've had so many more, you know, winners at the state or top fours at levels for different competitions they go to. I can't keep them all straight in my head, but we had a freshman, Hoyt Schmitz, get first overall in the state in
nature interpretation.
He's a freshman. He gets a first overall in the state in nature interpretation. I mean, what a testament to the FFA program.
They like ban him, though. They can't.
Once you win, you can't compete again in high school.
A bunch of
he'll win in other stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Yep. Let him line him up.
So, you know, he's probably one of our very few, if only, freshmen going to state convention next week because he needs to be there. He's a state champion, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got a lot of senior nights coming up. Track senior night's going to be April 22nd. Baseball senior night, April 29th. Softball senior night, May 1st. And so, you know, honoring all those seniors and the athletics they're in. Boy, choir concert and band concert coming up. April 27th is our final end of the year band concert. Our end of the year choir concert is on May 4th. And then, you know, get to the end of the year. Like I mentioned, we got Senior Fest on May 16th and graduation on May 18th. And end of the year for all the rest of the students is May 22nd. And it's summer break. So it's going to be here before we know it, which is hard to believe, but here we go.
So, and the last day for the seniors and that stuff, giving away prizes. Yep. And if individuals or businesses are interested in donating prizes and or cash to get prizes, contact the school and they'll get you worked out. And one more thing, might go over the three R's again that you talked about, which I thought was pretty good.
Well,
it's not reading, writing, arithmetic.
No, it's not. Arithmetic.
If it was arithmetic, it wouldn't be an R.
That's right.
And writing has a W. But reading, writing, arithmetic, the three royal R's is
rigor, relevance, and relationships. It's what I come back to all the time, and that's what we talk about as a staff, is relationships come first. If you can build relationships with your students, they're going to tune in and be engaged with what they are learning in the classroom. And once you have the relationships established, then you can increase the rigor and increase the relevance of what you're doing. And if you got those three R's, then students are going to be engaged in your class and getting out of it what you want out of it.
Yep, and we've done a lot of good things. And just real quick, too, talk about a couple of the, like the drone class and some of those special things that they, that we have given to our students that are that can get them, you know, licenses and things like that that are just college courses and all that kind of things. There's a few of those.
Yeah, well, you know, we talking of the credentials, we can offer those as low as middle school. So this year, Chad Miller is teaching a leadership class in eighth grade, and those students are getting licensed in leadership. It's through a program called Lead for Change, and basically they create a community service project that they can execute, and if they execute it, they get a certificate that they are, you know, certified in leadership. That's something that they can put on a resume someday because they've learned the skills that it takes to be a solid leader. And then as you go through high school, and we're going to add some new ones each year, you know, it's mm-hmm. kind of a slow process with the last year or two really starting to implement them, but, you know, CPR and first aid, from that to sports officiating, to drone piloting, to entrepreneurship, to Adobe, to Microsoft, to BASF, plant science. There's so many out there, and, you know, we're sprinkling a little bit few in more at a mm-hmm. time, but those are all certificates that students can earn through the classes they take at Fort Recovery that will help them in what they do someday.
And I think the good thing about being plugged into like the larger ecosystem that our Fort Recovery students can with like TriStar is they have a lot of them there as well.
Absolutely.
So students can get some in our district, but they can also attend TriStar juniors and seniors. Like the new one that they're working on right now is a Kubota mechanic certification.
So
that's another one that TriStar, they have a teacher that's getting trained in that to be able to pass it then on to students.
Hall Brothers, Affolders, I think there's another one not real far that can help you a bunch.
Yeah, and that's been a big push at the state level, especially. I think it's been really former Lieutenant Governor Husted was a big push into that in terms of the industry recognized credentials and more career based learning. So it's starting to definitely trickle down into the districts, and I think this local area and Fort Recovery in particular has done a really good job of leaning into that and getting stuff in front of our kids that's pretty relevant.
And it sparked me talking about this too because you mentioned CCP classes also, and we got quite the slew of them that we offer at the high school. You know, we offer CCP public speaking and chemistry and calculus, and there's quite a few of those CCP classes that we offer that kids can earn college credit. If they're going to college, they can opt out of those classes or get that credit so they don't have to take them at college.
And pay for them at college.
That's right. But I'm going to speak specifically of the public speaking class. So Tracy Obringer teaches public speaking as a college class. It's mostly seniors. There's a few juniors in that class actually this year. And their last project was they had to come up with something they wanted to see reform on in the high school, and they had to do the research on it, come up with a presentation, and then present that to Mr. Stahl and I. And so what experience for the students to be able to gather data and do that work and then have an audience to present it to. But wow, did they put together some very awesome, you know, arguments that really gets us thinking that we will seriously consider and work forward. So there's three groups in that class. First group presents on free admission to athletics. Now, mm-hmm. that's nothing new. We've heard this before. There's a lot of pros and cons. And, you know, I go in and I have my list as soon as they start talking, like, well, I'm going to ask them this, and this when they're done. And they answered every one of those questions before they were done presenting. Like, they thought through this about, okay, what are the pros, what are the cons, and then how do we get over those, you know, cons to surpass that, to allow this, because we want more students at our events. And, you know, Madison Ben's presenting in this, and she's got 9 brothers and sisters. She's like, it costs a lot of money to bring my family to a game, right? And so this is how this could help it. So it was a very intriguing argument. Next group the next day presents on why the school day should be shortened. And you think, well, geez, high school kids talking, they want to knock a half hour off the school day. Yeah, or, you know, whatever. By the end, I think Tony and I are both sitting there like, wow, they got a lot of great arguments as to why.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. It's like our wheels are spinning on this. That's an incredible thing. And then the third group presents on why high schoolers, we don't have a recess at the high school, right? After you get out of eighth grade, there's no recess. Why we should have a recess in the high school? And so how awesome of our juniors and seniors to, you know, be part of this class, but then work so hard on actually, you know, gathering data for this. They're interviewing teachers, interviewing students, contacting other schools about what they do and gathering that information. And I'll speak for both Tony and I and say we sat through those three classes and were just amazed at how good a job they did.
Yeah, and that's great. And just what that can mean for those kids, knowing that even if things don't get changed, they at least got things, because some things, you know, shorten the school day, make it 2 hours. Well, school state ain't going to let you do that. Some things you aren't possible to do, but other things are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just because we've had it from basically 8:15 to 3:15 for 30 years, that isn't necessarily how it has to be. And, you know, there's a lot of things that can be changed, and if they all they did was get people thinking and getting wheels turning and processes started, that's a lot for their self-esteem, that for people to know that they, you know, if they do the research, like a lot of people on Facebook don't, but if they do the research, you can come up with reasons for this, and this. Mm-hmm. That, especially when you've thought about what are the cons, and like you said, you had your list of questions, they already had them answered. Well, that's good.
How well spoken they were, how mm-hmm. well they articulated their arguments, how much they thought about counterpoints or anticipated things that would yeah. maybe be brought up
yeah.
as counterpoints and had it ready for.
That's really important.
Oh, yeah. It was good. It was good stuff.
Yep.
Because yeah, that's part of what Tony and I want to do with them. Like, they're going to present, and it's a 20, 25-minute presentation and a 45-minute class. And that first group, as soon as they got done presenting, them five kids are like, oh, we're walking back to our seat. No, wait a second now. You didn't got the hard part. You know, we want to question you. And it's kind of hard for us to come up with questions, to be honest, because yeah. they do such a good job of articulating that and thinking of those counterpoints prior to it. But, you know, I can't commend them and Mrs. Obringer enough for the way that lesson is set up and how they present it. Last year she did the same, so it was my first experience last year, and you know, it's not like we walk out of that classroom and just forget everything they said. We have serious conversations about that, and we'll continue to do so, and there yeah. may be something that changes because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really good that they can get at least in school important people listening to their point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really good. Anything else we might have missed?
Yep. So I know you guys talked about school funding, and let's just talk a little bit about Fort Recovery and our financial with the bird flu and layoffs and local companies struggling. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, do you meet with them? Do you meet with the Representative Coopers or Representative J&M and say, here's, you know, how's things going or anything like that, Tony?
There's a larger, I mean, in terms of like how it impacts school funding regularly with those groups or anybody really, not really. But there is, I mean, we do have like TIF agreements, which are for like tax agreements, like if a business locally wants to expand and, you know, offset or delay taxes periodically. Deanna, our district treasurer, will go meet with those guys. And those are usually for a certain length of time. And so usually every year they have to kind of check. And there's stuff that the county auditor involved, and so those conversations do happen, and then we are also are involved in the like a business advisory committee through the Mercer County ESC, and it used to be AMBI, which was All Glaze Mercer County Business Alliance. That kind of broke up, it was just a little too big, and now it's more Mercer County based with through the ESC in Salina, and so we're part of that as well, so we do get business feedback. Not necessarily that's, you know, to answer your question, directly impacts our funding or how it works right. and things like that. But, you know, feedback from like a business advisory standpoint, we do get some of that stuff. So
Matt Hoffman was on WLW, David Cunningham, and he was talking about school funding.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
And he was talking about how, and I think he's for, he the carryovers that some of these school districts have
yeah.
are unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
And their thinking is, like Columbus City Schools has like a $600 million surplus.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, well, we invested it. The point is that they use the taxpayers' money to invest it. So mm-hmm. cut the taxes a little, give the taxpayer a break.
Yeah. I mean, I think the theory from, you know, and where we're at, we talked a little bit earlier about like our budget process, where the House proposal has basically set a limit on what proposed limit, not an actual law yet, but a proposed limit on what a district could carry over. So they've capped it at like 30% right now. And so whatever your previous year's expenditures are, you would only be allowed to have that percentage as carryover. And then if you had more than that, there'd be a county commission that's kind of put together that would, you know, lower taxes for a certain degree of time until that threshold got back up or whatever, or the law changed or whatever. So that idea out there, I think from like a Matt Huffman or a state legislator standpoint, is that there is a tax credit out there that is maybe existing by putting that into place, if that makes sense. So, which is fine. I certainly think, you know, that, like you said earlier, businesses are hard hit, things are tough, and I tax breaks for people are certainly a good thing, but also balancing that with like the long-term stability of a district too, and kind of the cyclical nature of school funding, and how we were talking earlier, you know, our budget from the state, which is about 50% of Fort Recovery's budget, is set every 2 years. So, you know, every 2 years, you know, depending on who's in office, things are changing, and, you know, funding is increased, it's decreased, and so to be able to set your budget long term, you know, it's just kind of a balance of both of those, if that makes any sense. So it's a give and take. And certainly I think, you know, to a credit, like, you know, a district like Fort Recovery or any district really that has carryovers, I mean, you want a certain degree of expenditures to be able to weather, you know, downturns. And
we're going to see it. Now.
Sure, I mean, sure. Exactly. You know, you know, a district like Fort Recovery, you know, 6 months of expenses might be $6 million. And so to have that much money in the bank is not necessarily a bad thing, but, you know, it needs to come from somewhere. And so I think that's where they're trying to figure it out in Columbus right now. And we're kind of watching and seeing how it might impact here. So it's a. I feel like it's this way, some version of this every 2 years, it seems like, though. So it's interesting, for sure.
It is, yeah.
Anything else you guys want to throw in before we get to Bubba and Fee and sports talk?
I think we've covered everything I wanted to cover.
Thanks for having us.
Well, we appreciate it, and I think it's, you know, what Bubba kind of alluded to it. We have pretty good financial people taking care of stuff, and you know we're going to be able to weather some downturns, and our state scores, that doesn't really tell you how great our teachers are, but it is, the state has to measure it, and that's good. Those scores are good, but even when they're not, which I think 4 or 5 years ago we had a couple that weren't as good as we hoped, but everybody around here knows that our teachers and our administration do a great job of taking care of our kids. Even if the state score doesn't show it, our employment rate and the kids' attitudes, that's everything to us. Now, the state has to have those numbers, and that's okay, and I'm glad we're doing well in that, but, you know, we're not necessarily just teaching to the test. We're teaching for life, and we're able to do both of those. So I think it's just a really good testament to what's going on around here, and the school board, the school administration. We have hit home runs the last 5, 6, 7 years with teacher and administration hires. I think it's just we're in great hands, it seems like. So I appreciate you guys coming in.
Yeah, well, thank you, Neil.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciated.
Yep, we'll be back with Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee in just a couple minutes.
Being brought to you.